Okay, tonight we are going to be discussing the second part of the Pikuach Nefesh series. Actually, I know that I mentioned originally that it would be a two-part series, but I hope with your indulgence if we could extend it to a third week and continue next week. So tonight the plan is to discuss what I call risk and changing times, and hopefully by the end of this year you'll understand why I gave it that title. Next week, I'd like to discuss with you Pikuach Nefesh for non-Jews, which is the hot topic. And there is a related topic I'd like to speak about next week, which is what's called returning from life-saving missions. So that's coming attractions. This week, we're going to talk about the level of risk that, or the level of danger, I should say, that is involved in Pikuach Nefesh. Meaning to say, right, we know that the Gemara tells us that Pikuach Nefesh overrides Shabbos. The first source that we have here on the sheets tells us that even Sakonas, Mipnei Shesafik Nefashos is Dochas HaShabbos. Not only if someone is definitely in a situation where you have to save their lives, do you override Shabbos? But even Suffolk, Sakonas Nefashos, overrides Shabbos. Right? Now, question though, what is considered Suffolk Sakana? No? The Gemara tells us that Ein Hochin be Pikuach Nefesh Acha Harov. We don't follow the majority. Even if there's a minority likelihood, a low likelihood that the person is going to die, that still is considered Suffolk Sakana, for which will be Mechal Shabbos. But how low is the threshold? Where do we draw the line? For example, okay, imagine that there is a dark alleyway. Now, one could conceivably say in a dark alleyway, you know, someone could Chas V'Shalom walk down and trip and break their head open and die. No? It's possible. Could happen. So am I allowed to say, well, Suffolk Sakonas Nefashos overrides Shabbos, that because of this chance that the person might trip, die, etc., so therefore what? Therefore I'm allowed to turn on the lights to make sure that they don't die? Is that true?
Absolutely not. There's not already a danger present.
So, okay, so you're saying there's no danger present already. Good. So that's something that we'll focus on a little bit later. And that's definitely part of the answer. But even if there is a present danger, but if the present danger, let's say, is extremely low. Okay, any medicine, if you read the fine print on medication, you'll see that there is a certain chance of adverse side effects, no? Sometimes it begins point, and then there's like lots of zeros afterwards. Now, if there would be a greater chance, the FDA wouldn't approve the medicine. But there's a small chance. It's a suffix sakonis nefashos. No, taking this pill could kill me, right? It's possible. So do I say, well, suffix sakonis nefashos, it overrides Shabbos? Or the equivalent, any very low-level case? That's really what we have to focus on tonight. What is the threshold? At what point do I draw the line? Now, I wish I had the answer to these questions. Certain people who deal with these issues more often than I do probably also don't have the answer. But we will try to flesh out at what point do I assume something rises to the level of a suffix, right? Effectively, what we're going to say is that certain things, crossing the street is dangerous, no? I could be run over by a truck when I cross the street. Is it suffix sakonis nefashos that it should be usher to cross streets? Obviously not, right? And your answer would kind of
work if there was a truck there.
Well, if there's a truck there at a red light who stopped, do I have to say, well, maybe, right? The sakonis is present. The truck is here. The truck could run me over. It's present. So obviously there's a very, very low likelihood of being run over by a truck. The major sugya, in terms of suffix sakonis nefashos, is hearing Yuma that we mentioned, but there seems to be a contradictory sugya. I'll say it like this. The Gemara in Yuma says, Safek Nefashos is Docha Shabbos. It overrides Shabbos. The Gemara in Yevamos, however, in a different context, the Gemara speaks about, this is the famous sugya of contraception. And the Gemara says, Tani Rav Beivai Kamei Rav Nachman, is the second source on the sheet, Shalosh Nashim Mishamshos B'moch. There are three women who, when they have relations, they use a moch. A moch is basically a wad of cotton, which is a type of contraceptive. The three women are Ketana, Me'uberes, and Menika. A girl who's a Ketana, right? And the Gemara explains, Shematis Aber v'Shematamos. A Ketana, she's very young. If she becomes pregnant, maybe she'll die. Me'uberes, a pregnant woman. Shematasa Ubrasandol. She's already pregnant. The Gemara had a concern. Medically speaking, it's impossible. But the Gemara had a concern that once a woman is pregnant, she might become pregnant a second time, and the second baby will somehow kill the first baby. Shematasa Ubrasandol. And Menika, right, a woman who's nursing, the Gemara says, Shematigmo Benav Yamos, maybe she'll wean her son too early and he'll die. Okay. And then the Gemara goes through the details. Let's skip a line. Divrei Reb Meir. This is what Reb Meir says. So Reb Meir basically says that we're nervous about sakana, correct? Reb Meir says, a woman, let's say a woman is already pregnant, and according to the Gemara, she might become pregnant a second time. There's a sakana for that baby. So he says, you know what? We'll use a moch, we'll use a swad of cotton, and therefore she won't become pregnant a second time. But the Chachomim disagree. The Chachomim say, achas zu v'achas zu in all these cases, Mishameshes kedarka v'holeches, u'min hashamayim yirachamu, mishum shenema shomer psa'im Hashem. Right? Basically, we tell these women, have relations the normal way, don't use any form of contraception, and God, min hashamayim yirachamu, God will have mercy. Why? Right? It's hard to say this in a nice way. Shomer psa'im Hashem. What does that mean? God protects the fools. Right? So you're a fool. Okay? So you're... What are you doing? You're doing something that is potentially dangerous, but God will protect you because you're a fool. That's basically what the Gemara says. Now, this comes up here in the context of contraception in Yevamos and Daf Yud Beis. It comes up in Maseches Shabbos in a weirder sugya. The Gemara talks about bloodletting. Now, bloodletting at the time of Gemara was it was done to protect your health, no? That you would just, like, draw lots of blood and somehow that would either kill you or you would miraculously get a lot better. The Gemara also tells you that bloodletting is dangerous when there are certain stars in various constellations, no? If Mars is over here and Venus is over there, don't bloodlet, the Gemara says, because you'll die. What that means, I have no idea. So, the Gemara says, but we do it. Says the Gemara, the same thing, Shomer Psalm Hashem, God protects the fools. Now, what does that mean? It's dangerous, no?
But it's also Arachara. People do it, this is how people behave.
So but it's dangerous. It should be usher. Am I allowed to go skiing? Going skiing is dangerous. Bungee jumping is dangerous. Jumping out of airplanes with a parachute is dangerous, no?
Again, it's Arachara.
So the Gemara says that it's normally done, and therefore we apply the principle of Shomer Psa'im Hashem. I always forget to turn off my cell phone before I begin. Therefore we apply the principle of Shomer Psa'im Hashem. We apply the principle that God will protect the fools. Because everyone's doing it. Okay, but would I say that, let's say everyone would do something that is objectively dangerous. You live in Roman society, and everyone is a gladiator. Your whole chevra. Right? Is it permitted? My guess would be not, right? There has to be some threshold. There has to be some limit. Yeah.
I mean, in English, there's a difference between like a fool and like a reckless person. Is there some kind of like difference in halacha between a fool and like reckless person?
Again, the Gemara says that Shomer Psalm Hashem, God protects the fools. Which is better, to be a fool or to be reckless? Like, which one do you think is?
A fool, because recklessness is kind of like intent. Well,
I know. So, it's hard to know exactly what the criteria over here is. The Kshuvos of the Binyan Sion is one of the first who worked on this. Now, the Binyan Sion was Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, no? He was the Rav of Altoona. According to tradition, he gave smicha to Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch. When I say according to tradition, it's because I don't want to get into trouble here in this neighborhood. But the historians point out that no one ever saw Rav Hirsch's smicha. Adkan. We'll leave it over there. So the Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger wrote the Tshuvas Binyan Sion. It's called Binyan Sion because the first Tshuvas that he has is about bringing the Korban Pesach today after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. It's about Binyan Sion. Fine. So he asks a question, basically the Rabbanon here in the Gemara in Yevamos. Reb Meir says that you have to be concerned that maybe the baby will be killed, right? And therefore a pregnant woman has to use a contraceptive. But the Chachamim disagree, and they say, right, Shomer Psa'im Hashem. So he asks, V'hanir lefi nias daiti, tries to explain what do the Rabbanon hold. The time of the Rabbanon, the af al gav de klal biyodenu, de ein lucha davar ome b'fnei pekuach nefesh, v'ein hochem b'pekuach nefesh acha harov, even though we have a general principle that nothing stands in the way of pekuach nefesh, and we don't follow rov. In other words, that any minute likelihood, any minute chance of pekuach nefesh still would override Shabbos. Zedafka b'yesh vaday sakonas nefesh lefaneinu. Kigon b'nafal alav hagal. The uz choshishin afilu lemi'uta demi'uta. Right? That's only in the situation that you have a definite case of pekuach nefesh in front of you. Right? Let's say a wall falls down. So then we're choshish even for a miyut to miyut. Even there's a very small likelihood that the person's alive. Right? Still, we'll be mechal on Shabbos to save the person. Avol, b'sha'ata ein kan pekuach nefesh. Rak, sheyesh lochosh l'sakona haba, b'zeh azulin l'basaruba kamola inyan nisura. This is what you were saying, Tal. No? In a situation where right now it's not sakonas nefashas at all, right now I'm doing a normal activity. There's no danger whatsoever. No? I'm perfectly healthy. You're worried that maybe it will lead to a dangerous situation later on. So then, says the Binyan Sion, then we follow Rov, we follow the majority like everything else. This halacha that we don't follow probabilities, we don't follow majorities by sakonas nefashos, that's in a situation that I know it's already sakonas nefashos. De'im lo kein, eich mutter leved liyam, v'latzeis lemidbar, shehim me'advarim, shetzrichim lehodos, al shenitzolu. He brings a raya, he says, one second. There's a bracha that we make called Birchas HaGomel, no? The Gemara says, right, this is a good acronym to remember, you make Birchas HaGomel, v'chol hachayim yodu chasela, no? Right? Let's see if I can remember. Ches stands for chole, right? If you were sick and you get better, you bench gomel, no? Yud is yardei hayam, those who go into the sea, no? Then the mem stands for midbar. Okay, well, there's another yod over there. I just forgot what it is now. Yisurin. What? Beis Hasurim. That's, how does that, Yotzei Beis Hasurim, right. Yotzei Beis Hasurim is the other one. Yeah, if you leave jail, right, that shouldn't happen to anybody. So the point is that, one second, how do you bench gomel? No, to bench gomel doesn't mean that you entered a dangerous situation. You're not allowed to enter a dangerous situation. So he said, how are you allowed to do it? The answer is that right now it's not dangerous, no? Eich mutter l'chatchir l'knos l'sakona v'lavar n'shmartem ma'ul n'ashol seichen, el al-karcha kevan d'ba'osa shoshaholich adayin l'ka sakona hochenach ha-harov. I go through the desert. When I enter the desert, I'm perfectly fine. What's the concern? Later on, maybe something will happen. I'll dehydrate, right? So then I follow Rov, because right now I'm entering, it's not yet dangerous. He brings another raya from the Gemara in Brachos, etc., about when there is a snake that's around you, you don't stop Shemona Esrei. The Gemara says if there's a scorpion, you do stop Shemona Esrei, not a snake, right? What's the idea? The idea is that a snake is probably not dangerous, no? Fine. So he says that's what the Rabbanon say also. So effectively what the Binyan Sion is saying is that when I say that by pekuach nefesh we don't follow the rov, that means when you're definitely in a pekuach nefesh situation. But if it's a situation that might not be dangerous at all, that right now it's perfectly fine. So then we apply the principle of Shomer Psoim Hashem. That's what Tal suggested earlier. This is kind of problematic, no? Kind of problematic because of the following case. There's a famous case that happened on the Yom Kippur with Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, no? Right, the story goes, we're not sure exactly if the story ever happened, and if the story happened when it happened, there are different versions, but there's a cholera epidemic. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and Yom Kippur went into Shul, and he said, well, therefore, because there's a cholera epidemic, I insist that everyone has to eat on Yom Kippur, and tradition has it that he made Kiddush in Shul, he himself made Kiddush. It's a problematic story for a few reasons. If you have to eat on Yom Kippur, you don't make Kiddush. That's one issue, no? The other reason why it's problematic is we're not exactly sure what year it happened. We're also not exactly sure what's going on exactly. Everyone here is healthy, no? There's a concern that there's a cholera epidemic outside, but I'm a healthy person. There's no disease in me. Would that be considered sakonas nefashos? According to this definition that we have now, that's shomer psalm Hashem. I'm a healthy person. I continue doing what I do, no? So that's very problematic.
Unless you can argue that by fasting, you're already making yourself weak and in a certain sense sick. And so now you're sick, and this is your...
But right now I'm healthy. Later, it's like going into a desert. No, I'm healthy at the beginning.
But if, while you're fasting, the more you fast, the more sick you get.
So maybe later on, I rise to the level of Sikon. About the begin, the tradition is at the beginning of Yom Kippur, he walks into Shul, makes Kiddush, tells everyone to break their fast. I think so. Says that Kol Nidre. I think there was a whole literature. By the way, most Rabbanim assumed that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was wrong. No, most Rabbanim felt that during the cholera epidemic, because you yourself were not sick, you couldn't break Yom Kippur. The rules of breaking Yom Kippur are the same as the rules of breaking Shabbos. It happens that Rav Moshe Feinstein, in the tshuva that we have over here on the second side, Rav Moshe Feinstein says here, if you'll look. There's a bunch of underlined lines, and there's a word v'gam barur, which is six lines from the bottom of that paragraph. It's four lines from the bottom of the underlines. The Moshe writes, v'gam barur sha'af bari mamash m'tzarech v'shamish chola sh'machaloso misdabekes. Let's say there's a case that I'm perfectly healthy, and I have to take care of somebody with an infectious disease. No? So am I allowed to be mechalo Shabbos to give myself an injection or whatever to protect myself from the infectious disease that I don't have that this other person has? So Rav Moshe says, right? Kedei shelo yechle tzrichem lasos lo refuah shish b'chilo Shabbos. So Rav Moshe says, it's nami mutter, kibon de beloze efshar sheyechle b'machla mesukenes. V'yadua that Rav Yisrael Salanter said, right, that you're allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, no? So even though I'm perfectly healthy right now, but I might become sick because I'm coming in contact with this person who has a serious disease. If Moshe said that still is considered sakonis nefashos, that clearly is against the Binyan Sion's definition. Clearly it's against the Binyan Sion's definition. I think most assume like the Binyan Sion, not like Rav Moshe. Yes. So this is the question. Is there a way of distinguishing between going into a desert where the disease, quote-unquote, is there, but it will take a while, and the cholera epidemic, which is there, it's just outside, or it's in the next, it's coming. But you know that there is cholera present. How different is that than the desert case? If I could put my finger on it, I'd love to. Going into the desert is my own choice in certain cases. Certain cases, maybe there's a mitzvah that I go. Certain cases, I have to go for whatever the reason. No matter what, I bench Gomel. Right?
But I
try again.
It will come later. Then, if you came out and there wasn't a dangerous situation, then why are you going to go about it? Like, if you're saying from the beginning that it's not a dangerous situation,
Well, it ends up that I left a dangerous situation, right? How was I allowed to go?
But you're allowed to go because it's not actually dangerous. It's not dangerous yet.
I'm allowed to go because it's not dangerous yet. It becomes dangerous later on.
And if it wasn't dangerous, then why are you benching GOMO?
Well, I'm benching GOMO because by the time I leave, it turned out that I was in a dangerous situation. Push comes to shove. Right? When I entered it, it wasn't dangerous. No, but since at the time, I hear what bothers you, just not exactly. Sam, you had a comment?
I remember, what year was Strauss Lauter?
So this story took place at some point, I think, in the 1860s, they say. The question of what year it was is a whole question. Some people try to do some calendar work. Was Yom Kippur on Shabbos that year? Even though we assume that on a regular Yom Kippur, if you have to eat, you don't make Kiddush. If Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, maybe you do, and that's one of the answers to that mystery in the Rabbi Shlomo Salanter story. But
where I'm going with this is modern germ theory came a little bit later. So the belief of what causes a disease and how you would be infected is very different.
And that's interesting. That's interesting. I mean, we do assume now that even now, I think we assume that eating and drinking is somewhat protective, that your body is more likely to resist the invasion of the germs if you're stronger. Is that correct?
For cholera?
Maybe not. Okay.
I mean, in general, yes, if you're healthier, you'll resist it, but you wouldn't want to get cholera at all.
Yeah, so... I don't know, but it's certainly a possibility. It's a good idea. Okay, let's move on, though, in terms of, go back to the first page. We'll try to move a little more quickly now. Again, we're trying to figure out what is the threshold. At what point is it considered a sakana? And at what point do we assume that, you know what, we'll apply the other rule of Shomer Psalm Hashem, that you just act normally. It doesn't even rise to the level of being a sakana at all. So there's a tshuva of Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. He quotes a line in Rebbe Kiva Eger that you don't delo by sakana mamish, the top line, you don't need actual sakana, o suffix sakana, ela she'ike ke'ev utza'ar tshuva, ve'efsha outside harifuk echad mine elef the yitzmach mizeh sakana, the after inanu done, and also the chlas sakana, suffix sakana mikomakim came the ikat sad efsharus, lavo lazeh korei belashon sakana. Basically, he gives the line that even if it's a 1 in 1,000 possibility, now echamine elef probably doesn't mean literally 1 in 1,000. It means a very remote possibility. But even so, if there's a chance that a sakana could arise, so that's called a sakana. Now, obviously, this opens up all the questions that we began with. So Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach tries to put his finger on it in the next paragraph. Let's read this together. L'inyan ikar hadavar. Ma nikra safek pekuach nefesh umalo. Va'ad eifo hu hagavol. Right? What's considered safek pekuach nefesh? What's not? And where is the boundary? Says Reb Shlomo Zalman, gam anochi ba'ani histapakti tuva bazeh. I was also very bothered by this. Ela, shemitzan hasivara. This is, by the way, is the way Reb Shlomo Zalman always works. He comes up with his own ideas. Right? He doesn't... Many of his tshuvas, he has these interesting mushals, he makes these comparisons, just logic. He says, logically speaking, nirlofi anistaiti, dekol shederech rov b'nei adam levroach mizeh, kiboreach mipnei hasakana, hareza choshev kisafik pakuach nefesh, vikarinim bebeke haigavna, v'chai bohem, v'lo sheyomos behem. Aval, im ein rov b'nei adam nivhalim umifachtim mizeh, it depends if most people are scared or they're not scared. If most people are scared of it, that's a suffix sakana. Most people aren't scared, it's not a suffix sakana. Ktsas dugma lazer harkov azrikas avabuos liyiladim. Avagad mitzaredin efshar shetzvichim be'emes lezdareis lasoso behektim ha'efshari. Im arofei omer shekvar higi azman lasoso. Ach afal pikein imigun klal lasoso bevhilos ubizrizos. Inoculating your children. Let's say chicken pox or smallpox or whatever, whatever they're inoculating someone for. So he says, you know what, in most situations, there's a real sakana there, no? If you get the disease, it's a real sakana. But the doctor tells you you need the injection. Do you go to get the injection the first possible moment, or do you delay a bit? If you'll delay a bit, you'll say, you know what, I'll make an appointment when it's convenient for me. That's not considered a suffix sakana. That's what Rav Shlomo Zalman says. Now, he says it's based on what most people do, no? Lefikach, afim be'emes yesh b'zak tza sakana, havalei k'moshe kasuch hazal, shomer p'saim Hashem, etc. So what Rav Shlomo Zalman is saying is that shomer p'saim Hashem is when most people are not scared. Most people do it. Right? This is, I forgot who mentioned it. Right? Someone mentioned something that if everybody does it, it's not a sakana. Effectively, that's what he says. Now, this is somewhat problematic for a few reasons. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch is like this. Let's say the doctors say that you're perfectly healthy, no? But you say, I feel sick. Take me to the hospital. I say, you go on the call, right? And they look at you and say, sir, you're perfectly fine. The guy says, I'm having a heart attack. Take me. What do you do? Lego there, Maris Nafsho, right? You follow the person, no? You listen to the person. Now, there are certain situations that the Achronim say, based on the Tshuva of the Radvaz, the Mishnah Berurah points this out, that the guy says, I'm having a heart attack. And the doctor looks at him and says, no, you're perfectly fine. You ate something, too much cholent. Right? That's what the doctor says. So, if the doctor sees absolutely nothing wrong with the guy, the doctor says, you know what, you think you're having a heart attack? Drive yourself to the hospital. That's what the Radvaz says in one case. The Mishnah Berurah has a whole essay. What's the difference between him driving? He's as obligated in Shabbos as the ambulance driver. Right? Why do we tell him, you drive yourself to the hospital? Well, okay, there's one funny Radvaz in these situations. Sometimes we'll do that. Very rare. The point, though, is that Lev Yodeh Maris Nafsho, you follow the guy himself. So Rav Shlomo Zalman's definition isn't really fully usable, no? He's saying it depends what most people do. Do most people consider it a danger or not? Well, I consider this activity dangerous, no? Now, you could say if you're a person who... I once had someone I knew who actually went schizophrenic. So he had this idea that he couldn't eat any food unless it came out of the can immediately before he ate it. Anything that was taken... He would only eat tuna, basically, food that came straight from cans. So the question was, what about opening cans on Shabbos, no? Because he wouldn't eat anything else. The guy was...
There's a way to do that, but
fine. But, so the question was about opening the cans on Shabbos. So do I assume in that situation, you know there's absolutely nothing wrong. You know the guy's a little cracked, right? Sometimes you might say, we might say that, you know what, you have this strange idea, no one else on the planet has it, we'll forget about you. That does happen. But in a situation that there's a few people, right, and later there, Maris Nafsho means it's not unheard of in the medical literature that somebody could look healthy and be having a heart attack. It's not unheard of. It's very rare. Not unheard of. So in that situation, right, we would follow the person himself. So therefore, Reb Shlomo Zalman's definition isn't fully usable. The Achronim try to give other definitions for what's considered a suffix sakana, and they use this line that Rabbi Kiva Eger had of Echad Mine Elef. That's basically the line that people use. If it's a 1 in 1,000 chance. Now, 1 in 1,000, we have to be very careful. If there would be a medicine that would kill 1 in 1,000 people, the FDA would never approve it. Correct? That's pretty high. So FDA would never approve such a medicine. Again, depending on the condition that the medicine is there to treat, but... So this line, effectively, this is the yardstick that most poskim use, although honestly, it always becomes a judgment call. We don't know exactly the answer to this question. What is considered a suffix sakana? What is not a suffix sakana? If the line is 1 in 1,000... So then, there's a bit of a proof over here. The Mishnah Berurah has a comment in the context of a Yoledus, a woman who's about to have a child. So, if you remember, last week we spoke about whether you have to do a Shinui. Right? When I'm a Chalal Shabbos for an ill person, do I do it in an atypical way? So Mishnah Berurah comments that by a yoledes, by a woman about to have a baby, so everyone agrees that you have to do a shinoi. He writes, afilu l'man d'amar, d'gabi p'kuach nefesh, you don't need a shinoi. Hachashani, here it's different. Mipnei she'keev ha'yoledes is dover tivihu, ve'ein achas me'elef mesa machmas leida. Mishnah Berurah says, well, 1 in 1,000 people don't die. Therefore, it's not really a suffix sakana, no? If it's 1 in 1,000, it's really a suffix sakana. Yoledes requires a shinoi because it's not really a suffix sakana. First of all, it's a natural thing. A sakana is something that's out of the ordinary. Having children is natural. Moreover, he says, 1 in 1,000 people don't die. So it sounds like the Mishnah Berurah might be using this 1 in 1,000 definition, at least in the context of Yoledes. Again, we're not abundantly clear. Okay, but let's go back to what we know so far. Suffix sakana or mechalal Shabbos. It's gotta be, says the Binyan Sion, that the sakana is present. If it's just someone's dream that out there, maybe it might become dangerous, like opening the cans of tuna, or like the person who might trip if it's dark, so then we are not mechalal Shabbos for the person. Right? That is also a definition that's used by the Noda Yehuda in the context of autopsies, no? The Noda Yehuda has a question, are you allowed to do an autopsy? It should be a shayla of nivul hames, that you are desecrating the dead body. So Noda Yehuda only permits doing an autopsy if it's chola b'faneinu. No? If the knowledge that will be gained from the autopsy will help an ill person who's right here, who's present, then the Noda Yehuda is maker on autopsies. There's a whole question about whether we fully accept the Noda Yehuda or not. But it's the same type of idea that the Binyan Sion is saying, that you need the danger to be present. If right now it's that the person is perfectly healthy, like the Rabbi Yisrael Salanter case, or like the dark alleyway, so then we would not be Mechalal Shabbos. Rav Moshe Feinstein, though, has an interesting idea. He says like this, let's say there is somebody who right now is not perfectly healthy, but the person is a chola she'ein bo sakana now. Remember, there are different levels of illness, no? Chola she'ein bo sakana means I'm deathly ill. Chola she'ein bo sakana means I don't function normally. I'm not functioning normally, but I'm not really ill. Right? I'm not deathly ill. There's no chance I'm going to die. I have a cold. I'm a chola she'ein bo sakana. I'm not functioning. Can't go to work. Stay home. Chola she'ein bo sakana. You're not going to die. So let's say, though, there's a concern that the chola she'ein bo sakana might become a chola she'yesh bo sakana. So right now I have an illness, but it's not an illness for which I can be mechalal Shabbos, but it might grow and develop and become a chola she'yesh bo sakana. Can I be mechalal Shabbos in that situation? So Rav Moshe says yes. Rav Moshe says that that's also considered that the danger is present. Rav Moshe, the line after that we read, says even if the danger is not inside the person, danger is like the cholera epidemic, you can still be Mechalal Shabbos. But Rav Moshe says that you can be Mechalal Shabbos as someone who now is a chola she'ein bo sakana, and it might become a chola she'yesh bo sakana. A case of this is as follows, an abscess, no? An abscess. So an abscess in the tooth is a problem. It's uncomfortable, it's painful, it's not a chola she'yesh bo sakana. The concern, though, is, I think that the way, again, this I'm not a doctor, okay? Very far from it. But what they say is that the infection could spread, and if the infection spreads to your throat area, so then it could become dangerous because then it can block off your breathing. So right now I'm a chola she'yesh bo sakana. It could become a chola she'yesh bo sakana. Rav Moshe would say I'm allowed to be mechalal Shabbos. He has a raya from a Gemara in Avodah Zarah on Daf Chafches. The Gemara talks about something called sapidna. We won't go into it now in great detail, but sapidna basically is the type of disease of the gums that when you eat something, blood shoots out. So the Gemara says that we're also mechalal Shabbos for sapidna. Now, sapidna, right? The Gemara says it's mascho bepeh v'gomer b'bnei me'ayim. It begins in the mouth and it finishes off in the intestinal tract. That means that the concern that it will spread is also considered a chola she. Right now, mechol she'im bo sakana, because it might spread, that makes me a chola she'yesh bo sakana. That's also considered a present danger. Okay, let's talk for a few more minutes just about a few other issues. Am I mechal on Shabbos if someone has a high fever? Is that considered chol shiyesh bo sakana? Well, how high is high? The Gemara in Pesachim, right? Let's go. We can do this very quickly, guaranteed. Okay, the Gemara in Pesachim says that Mabar of Ashi found that Ravina the Shayefle Labarti Begoharki the Orla. Ravina took Orla. Orla is fruit within the first 3 years. Someone told me that their elementary school teacher translated Aralta Orla so as pure yomiz, you should cut off the foreskin of the fruit. That's not correct. Right? Not correct. Fruit does not have foreskin. But Mabar of Ashi found Ravina, who was rubbing his daughter with Orla fruit. Amar Leh, so he asked, what are you doing? Right? If it's dangerous, you could do this. But if it's not dangerous, how are you allowed to use Orla fruit? Orla is Asr Bahana'a. So Amar Leh, Hai Ishtet Samirta, Nami Kishas Sakona. Dami, he says, oh no, it's a fever. It's Ishtet Samirta, and therefore it's like a Sakona. The Gemara has a second answer as well, that he was doing it Shalom Kederach. Okay. The point is that Ishtet Samirta in this Gemara, right, a fever is considered a Sakona. Rashi says Ishtet Samirta means Eish Cham, hot fever. What is hot fever as opposed to cold fever? No idea. The Rambam says Ishtet Samirta doesn't mean hot fever. It means Tisamer Saras Bisari. Basically, it's like chills. If you have the type of fever that you go from hot to cold, right? So then you're Mechalal Shabbos in that situation. And that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, both definitions, both Rashi and the Rambam. Mechalal Shabbos, it says in Shulchan Aruch, Al kol makah shenasas machmas barzel. Any injury that happens because of metal, we'll talk about that maybe. And on Shchin, etc. Ve'al mi sheyesh bo kadachas cham b'yosef, if you have a very high fever, oh, im simor, if you have the type of fever with chills, sing your Mechalal Shabbos. Well, how high is the fever to be Mechalal Shabbos? Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, fever of 102 or 101, if you're nervous. So Rav Moshe says, for children, fever of 100. Be Mechalal Shabbos by, with a Jew, take the person, drive him to the hospital, do the oraisas, like we spoke about last week, probably without a shinui, go for it. 102 fever, or 101 if you're nervous, and for a kid, 100. By the way, I'm not lying to you, let's look at the Rav Moshe, we have it. Right, we have this Rav Moshe. Hinei b'dvar kadachas chan b'yosei, that we're Mechalal Shabbos. Like it says in Shulchan Aruch, Shashar Yadidi, kama himidas hachom. You ask, how hot is it? Hinei imbas adavar barer. Right? We don't know for sure, but it doesn't have to be for sure. Thou suffik nami mechalalin. Right? We're also Mechalal Shabbos for a suffik. Hosha odam choshloze shemu chan b'yosei, mechalal, etc. Ustam b'nei odam, choshashen, kishu korov l'midas meya ushnayim, shuchan b'yosei. Most people think that when it's close to 102, it's very hot. You're not allowed to be machmir. You have a temperature of 102. You are a cholish yish basakana. And if you're nervous, even when it's around 101, and you want they should be mechalal Shabbos, mechalalin. Right, the logar from Makash and Shulchan, etc. It's no worse than the other case in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that you don't have to be mechalal Shabbos, but if the guy wants you to, you can. Ubetinok. And with a kid, she'in shayach zeh, imroon she'mitztayer b'yosef, you see that the kid is in a lot of pain, u'kudom lezer, ma'shenikar shuchola, af shachom hu'katan rak yoser mimeya mechalalen. For a kid, even more than 100. That's what Rav Moshe says. Now, then Rav Moshe writes in the next paragraph, even if you have a cold, right? It's not so uncommon that people get colds, no? Happens to me at least once a year. You get a cold. And when you get a cold, you have a temperature. You have a fever, right? Around 102, not so uncommon, 101. It says, Ramoshi Mechalal Shabbos. That's it. Right? It sits Eliezer. Yeah?
Is it any of the acceptable way to take your temperature on Shabbos?
Oh, so taking temperature on Shabbos. So, yeah. Well, the Isser of measuring on Shabbos is an Isser Drabbonon that is relaxed for a mitzvah. You're allowed to take a temperature if you need to know if you're really sick or not. The question is, what type of thermometer should you use? A mercury thermometer is best to use, but they don't sell those anymore. The fake mercury thermometers that they sell are fine. you shouldn't shake it down after you take the temperature. That might be preparing for the next time. In the shiur, most of the thermometers today are electronic thermometers. In the shiur that we gave about childcare on Shabbos, we spoke about what do you do with electronic thermometers on Shabbos. How can you do those? I felt it was permitted to turn on an electronic thermometer with a shinoi. Then instead of pushing it with your little finger, with your right finger over here, you push it with your left finger, you use your elbow, you do something. I thought that was okay. I saw that in Rabbi Bodner's book of Halachos of Refuah and Shabbos, he was not convinced that this is correct. I don't know, I'm going to stick by my guns on this one. I think it should be okay to turn on the thermometer with a shinoi. Again, especially based on the Ramban that we spoke about, that even if you're chol she'ein bo sakana, so you're allowed to do a malacha de oraisa with a shinoi, according to the Ramban. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't assume that way, but the Shulchan Aruch Harav and others paskin like that Ramban. Okay. The point is that Rav Moshe says that even if you have a cold and you have a temperature of 102, you're machal Shabbos. Or if you're nervous, 101. Or if you're a kid, 100. Others then go into the definitions a little more and they say, well, a kid who has a temperature of 100, what type of kid? Are we talking about a kid over 6 months or under 6 months? No? Under 6 months, a temperature of around 100, you should send the kid to the emergency room. Over 6 months, what's a big deal? Happens all the time. Right? There's a whole literature about these questions within the Rav Moshe. But whatever it is, the Tzitz Eliezer says that he was giving shiurim in Shari Tzedek Hospital to a group of doctors. And he mentioned that there's a certain Rav, he didn't want to tell you his name, but he writes in parentheses, it's the Igros Moshe, right? And that Rav said that you can be Mechal Shabbos if someone has a cold, right, with the temperature of around 102. And all the doctors started to laugh. They said, what? There's no danger whatsoever, no? There's no danger whatsoever. So you're not Mechal Shabbos if there's no danger whatsoever. What's the problem? Everyone gets colds. A cold is not dangerous. So you're not Mechal Shabbos. So Tzitz Eliezer says, you know what? If you have temperature of 102, so you could take medicine, try to get the fever down. You're at least a Cholash Embol Sakana, but you can't be Mechal Shabbos. You can't do Doraisas. What is the temperature that's considered very hot? I don't know. Unclear. The poskim say that typhoid fever is definitely your Mechal Shabbos for. Typhoid fever is like 107 or something. Higher? Okay.
It's not a different type of fever.
How hot? The postgame will say that typhoid fever, your machal, how hot is typhoid fever? No idea.
It runs in the 102, 104 range.
That's
medically,
it.
Medically, we generally don't worry about fevers until they get above about 103, 104.
Uh-huh.
Unless it's a child less than about 6 months or a year old.
Okay. So now, the Tzitz Eliezer basically doesn't want to give us any firm guidelines for how high the fever is to be Mechalel Shabbos. Rav Moshe gave guidelines. The Tzitz Eliezer is saying, you listen to the doctors. The doctors say 103, 104, nothing less than that. That's what you listen to, right? That's it. That's what the Tzitz Eliezer says. So Rabbi Bodner, in his book on Hilchos Shabbos, he wants to defend Rav Moshe. He wants to say that, you know what, maybe we don't listen to the doctors when the doctors are going against the Beferish Gemara. The Gemara says that hot fever, ishtet samirti, machal Shabbos. So the doctors are against the Gemara because we define hot fever as being 102. So we listen to the Gemara, not the doctors. Right? This is, of course, the old question about what happens when medical science contradicts halacha, and this comes up in a lot of cases that says in Shulchan Aruch Mechal Shabbos. Let's just go through one or two of them quickly. The bottom source is here. Makash al gav hayad v'gav haregel. Okay, that means that you have a wound on the back of your hand. Okay, there's a discussion whether that means on the fingers also or just on the back of your hand. So I get a cut over here. Shulchan Aruch says on Mechal Shabbos. Would any doctor tell you that a cut on the back of your hand, you're Mechal Shabbos for them?
Yes.
Why?
Because while the majority of people, it's simply a cut, there are actually people that have died from infections. And a friend of mine, who is a doctor, had that happen on a Shabbos, and he said he will never, ever,
So, I mean, the question, though, is if, you know, if there's concern for infection, aren't there ways of just making sure that infection doesn't set in without being Mechal Shabbos? Clean the wound. Put on antibiotic. Yeah.
I mean, but probably a lot of these issues come up because during the time the Shulchan Aruch was written in the Gemara, so they didn't have ways to kind of
correct.
Get under...
So the question is, do we assume that Shulchan Aruch is just giving us guidelines based on their knowledge of the time? Or do I assume that they had like some tradition that came down from Sinai that says that the following illnesses you're Mechal Shabbos for? Rabbi Bodner is taking Rav Moshe's definition of fever to mean that what came down from Sinai is 102 or 101. And therefore you're Mechal Shabbos, even though the doctors say there's no danger whatsoever, it's a cold. And therefore you would be Mechal Shabbos on the cut in the back of the hand. The Nishmas Avram, which is the book that most people use for medical halacha by Dr. Abraham, so I'll get to you in 1 second. The Nishmas Avram says, you know what? No one has ever been Mechal Shabbos for a cut in the back of the hand. We just don't do that anymore. It says in Shulchan Aruch that we are Nishtanu Hatzvaim. Things changed. That's the basic answer. We'll give a few other examples quickly in a second. Yeah, question. Yeah, so that we could talk about also, just very quickly, psychological concerns. If someone... So the Magen Avraham Paskens are for psychological illness or also Mechal Shabbos. The reason that's given seems to be based on the Rashi and Tainis, where Rashi says that the concern is that when someone...